Zeal. How many of you, when you saw that word, did not know anything about that word? Yep, it's a word that is not often talked about, which is probably why the Lord said, that's where we're going this session. And God, I feel like he told me, not only does he want this session to be named Zeal, but I believe that God was saying, Joy, I am going to impart zeal into some moms. It will become a character trait of each of us through these 8 weeks. We are going to marry zeal and authority this session, and we are going to see the force, I believe, of a mom who lives out of both. Today, I want to introduce you to this word zeal. Today, I just want to unpack this word that you might not know much about because it's not taught much about, yet the scriptures are full of this word. And possibly, I hope to give you a better picture of what holy zeal is, because I believe our world promotes it in an unhealthy way. As for an example, some of you, when you think of zeal, you would say, zeal, when I think of zeal, what comes to mind is when I'm walking through downtown Atlanta, or if any of you have been to New York City through Times Square. When I think of zeal, I think of somebody on a makeshift cardboard stage with a megaphone yelling, turn or burn! That's what some of you might think of when you hear the word zeal. But what I think about and what I believe Scripture talks about, the right kind of zeal, is a lady that I met in Texas several years ago when I went to teach at a women's conference. This lady, you would never know who this lady was, very, very in the background. She came up to me afterwards, very timid. She was abused horrifically her whole life, sexually, mentally, put in a box by her father and several of her other family members. She finally broke out of her home. And of course, as the trend is, she was looking for love in all the wrong places, ended up being pregnant, had an abortion. God radically transformed her life. I get chills. As I sat with this lady telling me her story, if you don't believe in the power of God, you need to meet this lady. Because if this lady can serve the Lord after what she had been through and still say he's a good father, our God is real. So this lady, God set her ablaze. And what this lady now does is she drives her car to the local abortion clinic in her town. And she merely parks her car and she gets out and she sits on the sidewalk, not right in front, kind of in the back corner of this abortion clinic. 3 days a week, she sits and she prays. And countless, she told me, the countless mothers who have walked over to her not even knowing why, because she speaks not a word. She simply just prays. And several of those women have gotten in her car, not only received Christ, but decided to keep or give up their baby for adoption. That, mamas, is a holy zeal. That is the kind of zeal that I believe Jesus wants to teach us about, that we can operate out of. Zeal is not a personality trait. I know so many of you are already looking up, sizing me up, going, well, it's easy for her. Look at her personality. She is crazy. And yes, my personality is that of passion, and I am zealous. That's just, but let me tell you something. My husband, if you ever met my husband, he is not anything like me. He is like my friend in Texas. But my husband is every bit as zealous for the Lord and for his purposes as I am. Zeal is not a personality trait. Zeal is a life dedicated and determined to tend to one's fire in their soul. By definition, this is what it is in the definition. Zeal, enthusiastic devotion to a cause. An ideal or a goal. I love this. And this precious sister of mine in Texas, this is exactly what she's doing. And tireless diligence in its furtherance. And some of its synonyms are passion and fervor and enthusiasm. But what I find when I looked up this definition back in November, what I found interesting was that zeal is categorized as a noun. Y'all, that means, see, I didn't learn in school, but the Lord has taken me to his school, and I am learning not only the Bible, but I am learning parts of speech. I am learning big old words. Like, I'm like, wow, this is a person, place, or thing. Zeal is a person, place, or thing. You would think it would be a verb, which is an action. So zeal is not something I do. It's something I am. It's somebody that I am. I have zeal. But how many moms, if you look at this definition, how many moms do you know are living in the context of this definition? How many moms around you are enthusiastic about waking up at 2 a.m. and changing another diaper? Or enthusiastic about dealing with teenage drama? Or about spending money, yet again, on another car? Not many. Because statistics and studies suggest that mothers are more stressed out and more fatigued than ever before. I won't bore you with statistics and the research that I found, but I can tell you, zeal is not a word used to describe most moms today. But in the authority and in the power, in the name of Jesus, I believe we here in this room and all of the hundreds of moms that are going to listen by podcast, I believe it can be and will be us. We can be moms with zeal for this great cause of mothering. Zeal to further the cause of our children, living out the purposes of God in their generation. Y'all, there is no greater thing that I care about in my life than that my kids will live out the purposes of God in their generation. Zeal comes from, even quite possibly like my friend in Texas, zeal will come from places that God wants you to fight for. Some of you are zealous about adoption. Some of you, like my friend, are zealous about the cause of abortion. Some of our greatest places of zeal come from possibly places of our most deepest hurts. There is a couple things in my life that I'm passionate about, particularly in these last couple years. And they have been birthed through my greatest wounds. You, mom, can be zealous, can be a mom full of zeal for your children to know and serve Christ. Andrew Bonner, man, I did some research on this dude. Man, he was a leader in the revival of Scotland. I just, sometimes when I do research on these people, they're in heaven, y'all. We're going to get to meet all these cool people of the faith. You're going to get to meet Beth Moore. Like, maybe you've never met her, but you're going to get to meet her. Like, all these, John Wesley and all the guy from the Salvation Army who I just love, like William Booth, like, we're going to get to meet all these people. So as I research these people and give you their quotes, like, I know them. Like, I feel like I know them, and then I'm like, they're my brother in Christ. So Andrew Bonner, a phenomenal man, he wrote this quote. He said, "Revivals begin with God's own people. The Holy Spirit touches their heart anew and gives them new fervor and compassion and zeal. New light and life. And when he has thus come to you, he next goes forth." Oh, I love this. "To the valley of dry bones." Oh, what responsibility lays on the church of God. "If you grieve him away from yourselves or hinder his visit, then the poor perishing world suffers sorely." Moms, your moms in your football team and your moms in your dance teams and your moms in your community, your moms at the YMCA, they need you. They need you. They need us. Could this be us? Could revival begin with a bunch of moms? With us awakened and united with a holy zeal that the Holy Spirit would come upon us week after week, and we are united and our zeal is contagious, and Ezekiel 37 is a reality, the valley of dry bones. God says, "Speak to those bones." He says, "Surely, I don't, can they live?" God says. And he says, "Surely," the prophet Ezekiel says, "surely you know." And then he says, "Command them to stand," and these bones stand up, but yet they're not living. And that is what we have. We have moms operating. They're in the PTA, and they're driving they're the team mom, and they are on every committee. They are doing everything, but they are dry because the Holy Spirit has not breathed in them. He needs you. He needs your zeal. How many of you get around other moms that are Debbie Downers, and you leave there? Wow. But how many of you, this is what happens when you come to Moms with Swords. You get around a couple crazy moms, and you leave here at carpool, and you've got Bethel playing in your car, and you are fired up. And then you go to those places that you have to go and do the things, but you're set afire. Could it happen with us? Yes! It better, or I'm gonna retire. That's what pushes me to do this ministry and all of my leaders, is that you, mom, will be set ablaze. I was praying the other day. We had our leaders lunch, and, you know, my background is Church of God, so I like to lay hands on people. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And so I like to have my prayer leaders pray, which we've got some, our prayer team. If you need prayer ever, ladies, would you stand? Dana and Tiffany and Stacy, if you need prayer, and Joanne, if you need prayer, these are the ladies. Go find them. But we were praying. I had my prayer leaders praying, and I was going around on each of our leaders. And on one of my leaders in particular, I just felt the Spirit just showed me this vision. And then I got to the next leader, and it grew. And it had to be from the Lord. So what I saw in my mind was a campfire. And y'all, I ain't never camped. So that's why I know this is the Lord. Because I would glamp if I could have granite and a bathroom. So I don't camp. So this had to be Jesus. So I saw this campfire and these chairs, and I just saw the Lord, and I just saw that he had his hand, and he was just doing this to the fire. And as he did this to the fire, sparks were flying, because I think that's what happens. And actually, after I got this vision, and I spoke it over my leaders, and then I did some research. Y'all, you know what happens when you do that to a fire? People think it goes out. Oh, no, 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 no. It just makes it burn hotter because it's pouring oxygen. And that is exactly what I felt the Lord say was going to do this session, that he was just going to fan into flame the fire of God that is already in every one of you. And there are going to be sparks that fall on women around you. And it is going to ignite a force that no devil in hell can stop. Our scripture this session, I got to get back to my notes. Woo, I'm glad oh, look, you can see it. Y'all, just confession. Listen, nobody can come in this place and say, gosh, that leader is so pretentious. Haven't washed my hair. True story, since Sunday. I have done spin class twice. So I got a t-shirt. I mean, I got my pants that are falling down. So listen, I'm sweating. I sweat from my hair. I woke up at 6 this morning. I was up at 2, went back to sleep about 3:30, got back up. My alarm went up at 6 because I was going to get all pretty for y'all, wash my hair, make it look pretty. I was like, no. I'm going to sweat, and I sweat from here. So I'm like, so y'all might get this every week. So if you maybe one day you'll see me with my hair did, but probably not on Thursday. Our scripture this session, Romans 12:11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. This word zeal, let's unpack it for a second in the Greek. It is spode. I don't know if that's how you say it, but we're going to go with it. Speed, swiftness, to show zealous diligence. If you are a mother, you need to write this sentence down and tattoo it. Yes, I'm telling you to get a tattoo. Tattoo this somewhere. For the believer, quickly obeying what the Lord reveals is what? Everybody say that three-letter word. His priority. You going to do PTA? Is it his priority? You going to be the team mom? Is it? You going to volunteer for 5 million things? Is it? Obeying what the Lord reveals is his priority, and it gets better. Look, this elevates the better over the good. Is it good to be a team mom? Yes. But is it better to obey what God tells you to do? Yes. The more important over the important, and does so with earnest swiftness intensity. That's zeal. So it's quick. Quick, we're quick, we're quick. And then fervor, let's look at fervor in the Greek. It is the word zeo. This one I just love, I just love the words. To bubble over, to be hot enough to boil, to show great zeal, to be ardently passionate, literally boiling with interest or desire. And remember, do not be thinking personality. No, this is a person. This is a person, and it can be manifest itself out of the perfect personality that God has given you. You can be boiling. Y'all, my husband is so excited when my daughter hits a really good home run, but this is his expression. But I know he's boiling with interest or desire. So it's not a personality thing. To be earnest, to set one's heart upon. Now quickly, if you get nothing else about zeal, this is what you got to get. So with fervent enthusiasm, be earnest, to set one's heart upon. This word fervent. Now this word fervent means enthusiasm. And this word enthusiasm is formed with a composite of two Greek words, en and theos. in God or God in you. This is so vital in this concept of us being zealous for our cause, of us living as women and moms of zeal. Because y'all, we cannot do it outside of God. If you are zealous outside of God, then you are what we will be to the world is what the world already calls so many believers. If we are zealous for a cause, but it's not in God, y'all, what happens is we become hypocrites. Anybody ever been called this a Bible thumper? Fanatic. If we are not in God, an extremist, we can only have the right kind, godly, holy zeal in God. In God. In God. There's a phenomenal story in the Bible, the Sermon on the Mount. You may have heard about it in Matthew 5. And I did a teaching on these two particular verses. When Jesus tells his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. And then in the next verse, 14, he says, you are the light of the world. It's very important for you to understand the context and the history. The salt in Jewish, what Jesus was saying, because Jesus was a Jew and he was learned in the Jewish traditions. Salt in the Jewish culture it means wisdom. Okay? So Jesus is telling his disciples, you are the wisdom of the earth first. But then he says, you're a light. You're a light, a city set upon a hill, can't be contained. And that light is fire. And in the Greek, it is like the widest sense of burning. So see, what we have in most scenarios, we got a lot of Christians fire-filled. Woo, we're fire, we're on fire. You better read your word. You better get in that Bible study. You better do what God says. You better not have sex before marriage. You better not drink alcohol. We got a lot of those, don't we? But what we got to have first is salt. We got to have wisdom. So therefore, we got to be in God. It's the only way our zeal will have an eternal impact if we are in God. So many have zeal without knowledge. Thus, you have the turn or burn. William Gorell, another amazing man, says blind zeal is soon put to a shameful retreat, while holy resolution, built on fast principles, lifts up its head like a rock in the midst of the waves. The key to holy zeal, moms, is you and I staying in God. John 15:5, one of my all-time favorite verses. Jesus says, I am the sprouting vine, and you're my branches. I taught this scripture, I taught this up in Texas one time and in my mail the next day, because I had everybody say it after me. You're a branch. I'm a branch. So somebody made me a shirt that said, I'm a branch. Just be a branch. Jesus is the sprouting vine. You and me, we're the branches. As you live in union with me, as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you're powerless. You're what the world already thinks of believers. You gotta stay in God. This healthy zeal is produced in the life of a mama who is completely attached to the vine, and just secure just to be the branch. I'm just the branch. You're the vine. Look at all of that. I'm going to give you, there's so many more, but I'm going to give you four scriptures that talk about us being in Christ. Colossians 1:27. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. We are the Gentiles. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. 1 John 3:24. For all who obey his commands find their lives joined in union with him, and he lives and flourishes in them. We know and have proof that he constantly lives and flourishes in us by the Spirit that he has given us. Galatians 2:20. My old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives, for the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the anointed one lives his life through me. Crazy. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into me. And finally, John 17:23. In God, Mom. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, this is Jesus talking, so that they will experience perfect unity, and the world will be convinced that you have sent me. For they will see that you love each of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. Mom, the most beautiful expression of fruit-bearing zeal will come forth and flow forth out of you as you operate in your rightful posture in God. You are in God. In God and God in you. I read a devotion over Christmas by Max Lucado. Such a powerful devotion, and it's so perfect for this message, so I added it. Max Lucado says this, better still, look deep within yourself. What he did for Mary, he offers to us. He issues a Mary-level invitation to all of his children. If you'll let me, Jesus says, I'll move in. Christ will grow in you until the same occurs. I love this. Oh, I pray this for my kids. He will come out in your speech. He'll come out in your actions. He'll come out in your decisions. But he is in you. He is in you. You, Mom, listen, you are a modern day Mary, you and I. But even so, even more so, oh, this is what kills me. Oh, he was a fetus in Mary, but he is a force. He is a force in you, and he will do what you cannot do. You have a hard time loving your teenager? God in you will do that. You have a hard time loving that kid that sits next to your kid, that keeps poking at your kid and ridiculing your kid and picking on your kid. You can't love that kid, can you? But God in you can, because you know what? That little kid probably needs Jesus, and you might be the only mother with Jesus that kid ever sees. You can't love your husband because your husband doesn't love Jesus. And a lot of you are in that boat. I lived with a mom. My dad did not know the Lord. He was a good man. Oh, he was a good man. But the Bible doesn't say you get to heaven being good. Now, I'm going to say it, y'all. I'm just going to say it. We must believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he rose from the dead. We confess with our mouth. You can't love that man. God in you can. If you are in God, Mom, you house the authority and the power of God to equip you to love where you can't. Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory, knowing and abiding, that will result in a life characterized with zeal. My prayer for you, God has had me praying this for you since we quit last session. I've been praying for you that God would move you past John 3:16. Because I think that's what we have a lot of moms that are stuck there. And listen, I love John 3:16. It's the Bible. It's the first verse everybody learns. I love John 3:16. Don't get me wrong. But listen, we have a lot of moms that I believe are stuck. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. I believe. But do you know him? We can read the Bible avidly and never get to know the Lord. You don't know the Lord unless you spend time with him in his word. May we move past just saying, I believe in God. I grew up with a father that said that his whole life, and yet at 89 years old, 3 weeks before he died, in his hospital bed, received Jesus as his Lord. Because he's not good enough. Do you know this God? May we know him, because when we know him, Mom, he's going to come out. He's going to come out in your choices. He's going to come out in your speech and in your decisions. He's just going to come out. Paul says, this is my prayer for you, Philippians 3:10, I want to know him inside and out. That is my prayer for you. I want you to know, not just believe, I believe in God. I want you to know him. Know him. Shelton Smith says, we can catch the Spirit of Christ and zealously and enthusiastically go out each day determined to serve God and be what we ought. I love this last line. I'm going to say that to you. Mom, stay on the firing line. Anybody grow up? Keep on the firing line. Yeah, keep on the firing line. Abiding and knowing him. Zeal will just be who you are. It'll just be who you are. Paul wrote the book of Romans. And the book of Romans, Chuck Swindoll says this, the letter to the Romans stands as the clearest and most systematic presentation of Christian doctrine in all of Scripture. Paul wrote this that they say is the clearest picture of the gospel. But do you know what's interesting? Paul had never been to the Roman church. He wrote the book of Romans probably from Corinth, while he was in Corinth. Moms, do you hear that? Paul wrote this book that says it is the clearest and most systematic presentation of Christian doctrine in all of Scripture. Paul wrote it and he didn't even know this church. He had heard of them, but he didn't know them. So why did he do it? Because he had zeal. He had zeal. Enthusiastic devotion to the cause of Christ, to this ideal, this goal, and he had tireless diligence in its furtherance. He had passion and enthusiasm. Never had he been to this church, yet he was zealous for his mission because of his knowledge of his master. Do you know him? God needs you to know him. Because y'all, you got to know him first. Because if you know him, most likely your babies are going to know him. And God needs your kids in politics. And God needs your kids in education. And God needs your kids in science. I have never been more scared about a culture than I am now. I am so scared, and I have to fight and renounce fear off of myself for my children and my children's children, if the Lord tarries. Because the culture and the world that they are growing up in, oh my word, y'all, you gotta be moms of zeal so that you can impart that same zeal to your kids. God needs your kids. But it starts with us. I would love to tell you, you can just sit back. You can trust the youth group. You can trust the Christian school. That won't make your kids godly and love Jesus and know Jesus. It's a great supplement. It's a great supplement. It starts with us. Holy privilege. And maybe you walked in here not really loving this whole mom deal. Like, that's not what I signed up for. I'm just a mom. How many times do you hear that? You're a stay-home mom? Oh, you don't have a real job. It's the best job in the world. My three children are my greatest life's work. My greatest life's work. And I mess it up all the time. I yell. I holler. I exacerbate all the time. Just ask my sweet little middle child. But you know what I do, try to do every day? Is get in the Word and get the Word in me. Because if that happens, then Jesus is going to spill out of my words. He's going to spill out of my choices. You hear that saying all the time, it's more caught than taught. What are your children catching in your home? I pray the Holy Spirit, just like that picture, lights a match in you to link arms with the mom sitting beside you and in your small group. We're all tired, y'all. We're all tired. It's okay to be tired. But it's not okay to give up. Keep on the firing line. God needs you. He needs you. He needs moms that are burning with interest for this cause. He needs moms who are quick to obey what the Lord's priority is for them. And I can absolutely tell you with scriptural backing that His priority for you, mom, is that son. It is that daughter. And it's your marriage. That's your priority. Over these next 8 weeks, may God impart knowledge that will accompany our zeal and make it a holy zeal that nothing can extinguish. Let's pray. Jesus, you are so good. Only as we stay in you can we burn with zeal. Man, I pray you would take this word. I pray these moms would chew on this word all week until we meet again. As they go to their small groups, God, I pray you would erupt hearts, that you would take off masks, and that you would allow these women to get real. Get real, God. If they've never been real with anyone, may they get real today. And God, if they've never been real with you, I pray today would be the day. If there are moms in here or listening that say, I'm the mom that just believes, but I want to know. God, I pray today would be the day. That mom would say, I want to know. I want to know him inside and out so that he'll come out in my speech. He'll come out in my actions. And that my children will not get a fanatic or a hypocrite, but that they will get a mom that is abiding in her role as the branch. Today, Holy Spirit, may it be their day. In Jesus' name, amen.